Welcome to SonaCast, a podcast from the team at Sona Nanotech Inc. Sona's unique gold nanorods will power next-generation diagnostic devices and medical applications. In every podcast, we seek to learn more about our industry with expert insight and special guests. Hello, and welcome to episode 36 of SonaCast. Undercover Colors made headlines a few years ago for its idea to detect date rape drugs in alcohol using colored nail varnish. Today, that idea has transformed into SipChip, a lateral flow-based device that can detect beverages spiked with drugs, commonly called roofies, in just 30 seconds. In this episode, we speak to Undercover Colors Director of R&D, Dr. Nick Letourneau, about SipChip and his company's fight against drug-facilitated sexual assault. Hello, I'm Darren Evans, Sona's Head of Communications, and I'm here with Dr. Nick Letourneau, the Director of Research and Development for Undercover Colors. Nick's company has developed SipChip, a lateral flow-based device to detect date rape drugs in drink, and it's been gaining a lot of attention here at the Advanced Lateral Flow Course 2019 in San Diego. Nick, first of all, can you tell me how this idea came about?
Yeah, it originally started back in 2014 as an engineering student project out of NC State University. The founders had some personal experiences with drug-facilitated sexual assault and wanted to come up with a product to prevent it from happening again. So I was brought on board, and that's when we began the development of the SipChip.
Okay, so what's your background then in terms of your scientific expertise?
Sure. Well, my undergraduate studies were in biomolecular sciences, which gave me a pretty strong background in understanding biochemistry. Then I went on to do my graduate work in organic chemistry. So my PhD is in organic chemistry. Both are from Clarkson University.
Okay. Now, when the idea was originally mooted, it was in a nail varnish form that you would dip a nail in the drink and it would change color. I know there was a lot of excitement, a lot of headlines around the world at the time, but there was no specific science behind it at that point. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. There was a patent that had been issued back in 2007 to a group of four people, but the patent really just covered the concept of nail polish varnish that detected date rape drugs. It didn't really reduce it to practice. So when I was originally brought on board, that's what we started working on. And, you know, we got to prototypes that were working. Our detection technology was detecting the drugs. But there were other product requirements that really required us to look at other form factors for our detection technology, moving from the polish to a nail sticker to a press-on nail, and eventually, ultimately, to our SIP chip.
Okay, so when did lateral flow technology kind of enter the equation?
Yeah, so lateral flow entered in about halfway through it all in 2016. This was because lateral flow offered a huge range of chemistries that we could incorporate onto the test strip. We had started off with some basic chemical indicators, but we really needed higher sensitivity and specificity to work in such a complex sample matrix like these alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages.
Okay, so can you describe the SipChip today then? How does it work? What does it look like? And perhaps some of the technology inside it?
Sure. So the SipChip today is it's about a quarter-sized device. It fits in your pocket or can clip to the back of your cell phone or your keychain. It's made up of several layers. The first layer being something to prevent moisture ingress. The second layer being a desiccant that's incorporated within this quarter-sized device. Then you have a test strip sandwiched in between a layer that seals in the test strip and a hard outer shell to protect everything. This is absolutely critical because it prevents flooding of our test. It can't always be used in controlled conditions. So you'll have a potentially intoxicated person either dumping a beverage, dipping the SIP chip in there, or using it as directed. It needs to be able to work in all of those conditions. And a lot of the design elements of the SIP chip went into reducing the possibility of user error.
Okay, and how accurate is it? And I know it can work on a number of different drinks. How many different drinks is it useful for?
Yeah, I mean, we've tested well over 100 beverages at this point. Our accuracy is above 99%. Right now, we're sitting about 99.3%. We err on the side of sensitivity due to the severity of what a false negative outcome would be. So why we're not 100% is because of some of the specificity challenges. But overall, it's the most accurate test on the market today, and in fact, one of the only truly tested date rape drug tests out there.
And specifically, what date rape drugs will it detect?
Yeah, it detects benzodiazepines, which are the most commonly used date rape drugs right now. Think of Rohypnol, Valium, Xanax, and then some lesser known ones like Restoril, which is Temazepam, and Midazolam, which is Versed.
Yeah. How do you ensure then that there's no cross-contamination? Because, you know, these are going to be used by potentially intoxicated people in, you know, social settings, definitely not in lab-based settings. How do you ensure that the tests are going to deliver accurate results? Because, I mean, presumably, you know, they could be touching surfaces that might have narcotics on them already in places like this. They might even be, you know, taking narcotics themselves or, you know, in contact with people who are. So how do you eliminate those potential cross-contamination risks?
Yeah, it's a great question and one that's come up. So we've done a lot of user testing in sort of uncontrolled conditions that would allow for us to get exposure to some of these potential interferences. But at the same time, we really honed in on our, I guess, specificity for the benzodiazepine family. We did test cross-reactivities with several other drugs and found that there weren't any issues. At the same time, we had to tune our sensitivity to meet what the threshold doses of each of these drugs would be in the various drinks that they may be tested in. So by setting that our sensitivity, our analytical limit of detection at that threshold dose, we're able to detect very small quantities. But if there were quantities less than that, that maybe are trace from fingertips or glasses residue, whatever it may be, it would likely fall below that threshold dose. So there wouldn't be necessarily an effect on the user, and we most likely wouldn't pick that up as interference.
Okay. And I know that when this idea was first presented to the world, it was, you know, very well received and received a lot of publicity, but there were also some concerns about, you know, potential victim blaming. There were lots of social concerns around the fact that we should be talking about prevention of this crime rather than this sort of aspect. I know you've done a lot of work as a company since then in terms of addressing those concerns. Could you tell me a little bit about that work and, you know, what you do these days to reach out?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as we were going through the product development process and looking at the nail polish, nail sticker, press-on nail, it was all very oriented towards our female demographic. And with the sort of explosion of publicity and public awareness around sexual assault in general, and also specifically drug-facilitated sexual assault, the public conversation changed to it's a problem for men and women. So we had to adapt that and adapt our product to address that, which is where we shifted into the SIP chip, which is, you know, being just a quarter-sized device, it can be used by anyone without any sort of real gender bias. It also, we used accessories to incorporate it sort of seamlessly into people's lifestyle so they don't have to worry about it. We've, like I mentioned, the accessory that clips on the back of the phone or onto your keychain. And we continue to participate in that broader conversation publicly through our social media channels. We're continuing to try to educate people. We're partnering with folks like It's On Us and Rain to try to raise awareness around this issue as well.
Okay, I mean, this is very much a product now that is available, that's on the market, that's retailing. How can people buy it? How much does it cost? And where is it on sale at the moment? What markets?
Sure. You can buy it if you're in the U.S. on our website, undercovercolors.com. You can also find it on Amazon. We're currently working to set up distribution partners across the world. We now have one set up in the U.K. that is going to be launching a website next week. There's also now one in Denmark, and we've got distributors in South Africa, South Korea, and India as well.
And have there been any regulatory barriers that you've had to overcome?
There haven't, interestingly enough. But what we're doing is we're testing pre-consumption. So that's really what moves us into the unregulated realm. So we're not diagnosing or treating or even really preventing a disease per se. We are testing a food to see if it's basically safe to consume. If we were to kind of cross that barrier and test someone's saliva for the presence of it, or to test urine for it, for the presence of these drugs, then we would be moving into a regulated space. But at this time, for speed to market and for making sure this product is out there and people can use it and we can start preventing these assaults as quickly as possible, we stuck to testing pre-consumption.
Okay, and listening to your presentation earlier, you highlighted some feedback that you've had about people that have used this device and that they've potentially stopped them from becoming a victim.
Yeah, that was really one of the most rewarding days out of this entire journey of Undercover Colors over the last 4.5 years. We had one case that really sticks out in my mind is a woman was at a music festival with a couple of gentlemen. And I guess I use that term loosely, gentlemen, because she came back from the bathroom, tested her drink because she felt uncomfortable. It came back positive for date rape drugs. And she ended up posting that picture on Twitter and it went viral. Just it shows that it's real to people. In that it's a real thing that can happen to anybody, date rape. And also it shows that our technology is real and has a real world impact. And that's really, really validating in terms of how we envision this technology working and the impact we wanted our company to have.
I know you're still in the process, you've said, of rolling this out across the world, so that's probably your immediate focus. But, you know, what's the next step now for Undercover Colors? Where'd you go from here? What are the kind of technologies you're looking at?
Yeah, at this point, we're kind of looking in two real markets, right? So we're looking at our drug-facilitated sexual assault market and making sure that's continuing to expand around the world. But we're also building in new drugs and whatnot. We've got prototypes in the lab that can detect both benzodiazepines and ketamine. And we're continually keeping track of what drugs are being used. There's some on the horizon that we're starting formulation development for now. But we're looking into new markets as well, specifically the human health market. There's been a huge shift over the last couple of years in at-home testing. You have companies like Everly Well who are offering sample collection test kits, but nothing that's really instant and a sort of test and interpret at home. Those are much more limited in terms of certain biomarkers, infectious diseases, things like that. So what we're aiming to do is expand into that realm. Two tests that we have in mind at this point are the strep throat test, and that would be our strep chip, and flu test, which would be the flu chip. We really want to eliminate some of those more invasive sample collection techniques, such as the throat swab and the nasal pharyngeal swab for the flu test, because we believe that would make it more palatable for someone to use at home and also even potentially in the clinical setting when you're dealing with children and people that are uncomfortable with those invasive techniques.
And these would all be lateral flow based tests?
Correct. They would all be based on our diagnostic chip platform, which at the center of it is this 12 millimeter long lateral flow test strip. Smallest in the world as far as I know. And you know that the inherent properties of having a shorter test strip come down to, you know, you have faster test results simply because the liquid has less distance to travel, but also you need lower sample volumes, so you know you can reduce the need to collect large amounts of sample or to dilute sample with buffer. It's a nice system.
And what about digitizing the test? Is that something that's on the cards? Because obviously a lot of lateral flow work now is moving into the digital area, and especially with data collection. Is that something you're also looking at?
Yeah, I think it's necessary for us to look at with the way that the market's evolving. you know, if we were to have one of these tests like the strep chip at home, we would want to be able to connect the patient directly to a healthcare provider so they could kind of skip that step of having to go into the clinic to get a prescription. So partnering with telemedicine companies, partnering with data collection and analysis companies are all going to be critical for the success of these at-home tests in the future.
Fantastic. Nick, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's all from Sonacast this week. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss future episodes. Also, make sure to follow us on social media to keep up to date with all the latest news and analysis from Team Sona. You can follow us on Twitter, at Sona Nanotech, on LinkedIn, search for Sona Nanotech Inc., on Facebook, also search for Sona Nanotech Inc., and on Instagram, at Sona_Nanotech. Team Sona will be attending various industry events throughout 2019 and 2020, where we will be recording future podcasts. If you would like to be one of our special guests, get in touch with us through any of our social media channels. Also, we would love to get your feedback on Sonacast, so please get in touch to let us know what you think, or if you have any ideas for future guests or content.